Rochester, New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Well, we got lots to straighten out today. We'll go over the pretend impeachment. We'll go over the Democratic debate. There were some pretty funny moments there. Prince Andrew has been fired by the Queen. He will be leaving public life. I didn't know he was in it. I'd say the Epstein scandal. You ever hear about him?
No.
What the hell else did he do? We'll get to this free parking. And wait till you hear the latest podcast trend. Every idiot in America now doing their own podcast. But wait till you hear the latest trend. There's an old saying in Washington, an impeachable offense is whatever 218 people say it is. So as long as votes, we've been talking about ambassadors. These guys, a lot of guys just buy an ambassadorship. You know, if you make enough money or you raise enough money, you donate enough money, you can buy an ambassadorship. Sondland is a good example of that. He's a guy with no qualifications of any kind to be an ambassador. Except one, he raised $9 million. Made him ambassador to the EU. How did he get involved in Ukraine? He was just somehow in the middle of this.
I don't know how he ended up. Well, the Ukraine was a very important part of the EU. So from that perspective, he was involved.
I guess when the ambassador, that awful ambassador Yovanovitch, was let go, somehow he stepped into the void there. But you're hearing these clips all day. That was definitely a quid pro quo.
You know, as I testified previously, Mr. Giuliani's requests were a quid pro quo for arranging a White House visit for President Zelensky.
Anyway, we don't want to hear this whole thing. It goes on and on. Everybody knew there was a quid pro quo.
Yeah, yeah.
However, later, under heavy questioning, he admits he has absolutely no actual knowledge of a quid pro quo. He said, everybody said it was, but do you have any specific knowledge? Do you have any evidence that it was? No. Now, he has very little relationship with the president. They did have one phone call.
I just said, what do you want from Ukraine? I may have even used a four-letter word. And he said, I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. I just want Zelensky to do the right thing, to do what he ran on, or words to that effect.
So that's the only thing you could really use at a trial. You got to remember, all of these witnesses, Vindman, all these clerks that came in, would never be allowed to speak at a trial because they have no direct knowledge of anything. They've just overheard water cooler talk. Same thing with Sondland in the first part. The only time he had any actual direct information was when he actually was with the president. Well, he was on the phone. He wasn't with him. But when he actually spoke to the president, and the president said no quid pro quo. So that's the only thing. See, in this fake impeachment hearing, you can bring in whoever you want. They can say whatever they want. But if you went to an actual trial in the Senate, that would be run by Justice Roberts. The Supreme Court Chief Justice runs it as a trial. And obviously in a trial, you just would not be allowed to speak if you have absolutely no specific or direct knowledge.
You're true. In all of the allegations about quid pro quo, and I was following the president's directions, would not be admissible because he just assumed that was what the president wanted.
Yeah, at one point, I don't want to play all these clips because imagine millions of people listening. Going to listen to this Sondland idiot for 20 minutes. He basically, under heavy cross-examination, they said, well, how did you actually know? Well, it was just the word around. So he had no actual knowledge. The only time he asked the president specifically, this is the only direct knowledge he has on this.
I just said, what do you want from Ukraine? I may have even used a four-letter word. And he said, I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. I just want Zelensky to do the right thing, to do what he ran on, or words to that effect.
There you go. Case closed.
Guess the bombshell blew up.
Yeah, now, President Trump.
So here's my answer. I want nothing. I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. Tell Zelensky to do the right thing. Then he says, this is the final word from the President of the United States. I want nothing.
There you go. Both people in the conversation agree. That's it. That's what you'd hear at the trial.
Well, there's only one slight wrinkle.
Uh-oh.
No, I mean, that comment that the president made about I want nothing, that comment was made after it became clear that the whistleblower had reported his concern about the call.
Well, I think that conversation was September 9th, and the whistleblower made his first report to somebody on September 8th. But That's it. That's the only conversation.
Well, those are the only conversations. You're right.
Now, here's the other problem Sondland has. Again, you buy these ambassadorships. There's a couple. You know, if you're the ambassador to Iran, Iraq, those are career foreign service, serious guys. Also, no donor wants this. Nobody, no donor wants to go live there. So the fun countries and the European countries, those are all bought. As far as this Sondland, he's a businessman. He owned a bunch of hotels, chain of hotels. Made a lot of money, always trying to worm his way into the spotlight there in Washington. Big Bush donations. I mean, he even helped out Biden at one point. He's just looking to get in the game there. So Trump doesn't really know him.
This is not a man I know well. Seems like a nice guy, though. But I don't know him well. He was with other candidates. He actually supported other candidates. Not me. Came in late.
One of my favorite Trump things, and sometimes I'd be sitting with him in his office. This is through the years. And when he'd pick up the phone, he'd say, "Hey, oh, we were just talking about you. Hey." And then he'd say, "Hang on a minute." He'd put it on hold and yell, "Who is this?"
Right.
And then they'd say, "It's so-and-so." "Well, who's that?" "That guy from Florida." Oh, yeah. And then he'd pick up the phone. So he doesn't really know the guy that well. So far, you've got these clerks like Vindman, these cubicle idiots who have no authority, no knowledge of anything. Just, hey, check out my Instagram. Take a look at the picture of Vindman.
That's a Newman one?
No, there's a new one. Okay. There's a new one. There's a better one of Vindman. Mark Simone NYC at Instagram. I like this one.
Pretty funny.
That's Vindman testifying. Mark Simone, NYC at Instagram. So what they got that they could hang their hat on is in his opening statement, there was definitely quid pro quo. So they'll maybe use that to get a vote. But in any kind of trial, and it's possible the Senate won't even take the case. They'll just say 99% of your witnesses have no knowledge, aren't qualified to testify. And the one guy that did also later said he doesn't have any specific actual evidence of a quid pro quo.
Do you think they can even get the Democratic votes to approve that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. It's going to be very tough. Not going to be easy. Hey, the ratings came up a little. Remember, they were 13 million, dropped to 12. I thought it would head to 11. It came back up to like close to 13.
Well, Sama, this is the bombshell day.
Yeah, bombshell day, 13. But that's not good. You know, for instance, the Kavanaugh hearings, that got 20 million. Even that Michael Cohen, those dopey hearings, those got 16 million. So this is not being watched by anybody. We didn't get ratings yet. We'll get them for the Democratic debate. I don't think even Democrats watch that.
Could you imagine? It was boring.
It's very boring.
Even highlights are boring.
Yeah, well, there's a couple good. You know, we don't have it because I'm the only one that heard this. Nobody picked this out. I could go find the clip, but that requires actually preparing for the show, and we don't like to get involved in that. So we generally steal the morning show clips. They didn't have it. You know, I always wonder what these guys who come in an hour early do. I guess that's what they do. They look for clips. So here's Biden.
No man has a right to raise a hand to a woman.
Wow. What courage to come out with a great strong position like that. Who said they did?
Yeah, right.
Who thought they did?
In anger, other than in self-defense, and that's rarely ever occurs. And so we have to just change the culture, period, and keep punching at it and punching at it and punching at it. It will be a big...
What is wrong with this guy?
I don't know.
I'm against domestic violence.
Punching at it and punching at it and punching at it.
What is wrong with him?
Well, you know what? He didn't even know he did anything wrong.
Yeah, in his defense, he's just reciting this, or they secretly or got cue cards or something, but he doesn't know what he's saying. He was in a total fog. Absolutely, he's really in a fog. Nobody wants to point out that you obviously have some kind of beginnings of dementia and you have some Alzheimer's. Nobody wants to say that. Although Booker hinted at it, but changed it around.
I have a lot of respect for the vice president. He is my office is a hero. This week, I hear him literally say that I don't think we should legalize marijuana. I thought you might have been high when you said it.
Ooh. Yeah, see, now he knows he's not high, so he's kind of hinting at the dementia. But there was one point, you know, he's talking about he's had the support. Nobody bigger with the black community was making this case.
Yes.
That's a tough case to make, but he's reciting all this stuff about the Black Caucus support and the Black Caucus this, the Black group this. But he's not pointing out that they won with the Democrat. It had nothing to do with him personally. And then,
if you notice, I have more people supporting me in the Black community that have announced for me because they know me. They know who I am. Three former chairs of the Black Caucus. The only African-American woman that had ever been elected to the United States Senate. A whole range of people.
No,
my point
no, that's
is,
not true. The other one is
true.
Here.
What is wrong with this guy?
Really, he's not in touch with reality.
No. Now, it's not on here, but there's another couple sentences after that where he says, and that's the reason I was chosen as vice president, my relationship with the Black community.
Yeah, I guess Obama needed help with that, right?
What do you think Obama would need help with that?
Yeah, right. Yeah. we need to get the Black vote.
Actually, he's the first African-American nominee, so he's probably thinking, who's the whitest guy I can get to balance this ticket out? Right, yeah. And that's where Biden, actually, the real reason he picked Biden, by the way, was Obama was so much of a newcomer. He'd only been in the Senate. He'd only actually served 144 days in the Senate. So you're worried about a rookie. So that's why they put Biden in there. Guy's been in the Senate for 40, 50 years. Same reason Cheney got in there. They figured the novice needs an old Washington hand who can go negotiate for him. So that, but the Biden is just rambling out off this stuff that didn't make any sense. And where this Buttigieg doesn't even, wait a minute, he doesn't even make the highlights.
No.
A poor guy. But he doesn't have to do anything. He's number one in Iowa, and he now reached number one in New Hampshire. He's leading the New Hampshire polls.
Wow.
So he's on his way. Bernie Sanders is totally irrelevant at this point, but at some point, the acting moderator actually said, you were totally irrelevant, but just say something so you're in this debate.
We have a president who is engaged in corruption. We have a president who has obstructed justice. And in my view, somebody who has violated the Emoluments Clause.
There you go.
All right.
No, he's a very corrupt president. You know, he sent his kid over to Ukraine to get $8 million from an energy company. Then he sent his kid over to China to get $1.5 billion from the Chinese. Now, you know, he got his brother a $1.5 billion contract to build houses in Iraq. Talk about corruption.
Oh, corruption.
All right, here's the problem. Here's the big problem. The DNC and NBC News coordinated. Everybody coordinated on this debate. It was agreed that there would be no mention of Ukraine and that there would be no tough questions, only softballs. You'll notice the three moderators, Andrea Mitchell, Rachel Maddow, totally corrupt. I mean, as far as bias, all
suffer. How could they agree to that and then call themselves journalists?
Where have you been?
Well, I can see Rachel Maddow, but...
Well, nobody's more corrupt than Andrea Mitchell.
But she comes across as, you know, a journalist, a reporter of facts.
Yes, but she's totally corrupt. Remember 2008 when she got caught doctoring a video of Mitt Romney to make it look like he said something he didn't? Luckily, the Romney people had been doing video of the same exact interview, and they had the original video, and they proved that she had doctored the video. So... and there's a couple other incidents like that. Who's the other moderator? I can't remember.
Somebody from the
Wall Street Journal or somebody. But they're not doing these candidates any favors. This is a big mistake by the DNC and fake news. They're deliberately only doing softball questions. Problem is, if you do that the whole debate season, then when the real debate comes with Trump, they're not prepared for getting hit with all this stuff. Important thing about these primary debates, you want to hit them with the toughest questions over and over and over again. That way they're in shape. They're ready to go for the real debate.
Trump is like mixed martial arts as opposed to these guys, like ballet dancing last night.
Yeah, but remember, Trump had been through 11 brutal debates, been brutalized by the moderators. He was ready for Hillary. So they're making a big mistake not getting these guys training. It's one thing about Tom Brady in practice. He knows these guys have to really come after him. You know, he offers every other player $10,000 if they can sack him.
In practice?
Yeah, because he wants them to really get ferocious because it prepares them better for the game. And Biden, look at Biden. They're just asking him softball questions. Look at Biden. There was no mention of Ukraine last night.
That's unbelievable,
That's not helping him. Not helping him at all. So fake news, they've got Sondland. I don't know what they'll get out of today. There's Fiona Hill. She's going to talk about how the whole... there was the Russia hoax that Russia tampered with the election. We don't even know if they tampered with the election anymore. You remember the 17 agencies said yes. It turned out that's a total lie, total fiction. Even the New York Times retracted the story. Turns out it was only three analysts in two different agencies. And we find out now the three analysts work for John Brennan. Wait for the IG report. It may turn out there's no evidence of Russia tampering. That may be coming. But they are all screaming, and this I think this is going to be part of her testimony today, that there was Russian tampering, but there was an effort on the Trump part to create this fake hoax that there was Ukraine tampering, too. But again, there's as much evidence of Ukraine tampering as there is of Russia. So that'll be the whole point of today. Anyway, we'll get back to all of this. We'll get to Prince Andrew. He's been fired. All of that coming up. Hey, check out. This is why Michael Bloomberg can never be president. Take a look at this video. Remember I told you about this? This clown, in the summer, when he'd get into the car, you know, you get in the car, it's too hot. So you turn on the car and the air conditioning, but it takes 20 seconds to cool the car down. So he had his aides bring a big room air conditioner and put it in the window to cool his car because he couldn't wait 10 seconds for the car to get cool. So this enormous room air conditioner had to be brought to his car window with a long extension cord. I found the video of it. Look at this clown. The Trump campaign, by the way, has this video. They will be using it if he ever has the nerve to enter the race. He'll be laughed out of the race for this video. Also, you want to see one of the greatest air shows ever? It's not planes. It's drones. It's amazing what they can do. Take a look at this. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Can't hear the whole show live? Get the rest with Mark Simone on demand. Get his podcast at 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
On 710WOR.
Hey, we'll take a call or two. 800-321-0710 is the number. So Prince Andrew apparently has been officially fired. The Queen, I didn't know this, they can fire you. In other words, what do they actually do for a living, this big welfare family, the royal family? Public appearances, waving at the parade, ceremonies, that sort of stuff. So she's told him that he has to leave public life. They call that going dark in the royal family. So he will do that. He will leave public life. I don't know that he was in it. I mean, aside from that disastrous interview, I don't know, has anybody ever seen him anywhere else? But I guess if you were in England, you'd see a lot more of him. He's going dark. That was the most disastrous interview that was. I would imagine crisis managers are going to take that video and show it for years in a course of what not to do. More trouble coming from that interview. There's a one part in there where one of the visits, he says he was not staying with Epstein. He stayed with the consul general at his house. Well, the consul general has come forward and said he wasn't there. He didn't stay there. So it's another lie he's got caught with. Now, the prison guards have been arrested, the ones that claim they were asleep and falsified the records. And apparently there's one guard who is cooperating right now. So stuff is going to start happening in that case. Anyway, let's go to Steve in Hackensack. Hey, Steve.
Hey, you know, everyone last night, with I believe the exception of Andrew Yang, they sounded like they were running to be the president of France. Yang has to be the smartest guy up there. Maybe that's why they're ignoring him. And I have to say, we're letting colleges, high schools, pounded into our kids' heads this socialist theme, and it's very, very frightening. I hope people wake up because what
you... Yeah, you know, that a lot of people, some really serious thinkers in this country have looked back now and said this is the biggest problem. Because if you're saying to yourself, what the hell happened to the Democratic Party? Where did all these socialists come from? How did this get so far left? They've traced this all back. Those 1960s and 70s hippies, radicals, that whole movement, all of them and their kids all went into the academic world. They all became teachers and professors, and they took over the colleges. And there's a couple of generations now that have been taught and indoctrinated by these idiots. There's one guy I know who came here from Cuba to escape communism, quite a brave guy, became very successful. Sent his kid to one of the finest Ivy League institutions, and he said, I came here to escape communism. I send my kid to this college, and he comes back a communist. and there is some of these great minds have been talking about how to rescue the universities, how to take them back. Let's go to Vince in Florida. Hey, Vince.
Yeah, good morning. You know, the one thing that's really obvious to me and should be to everybody right now is there's way too many people working in the government that feel they run policy. They decide foreign policy. And when you look at this, Ukraine elected a comedian. So these people are insisting that Trump was holding back this money for whatever reason. But yet we're supposed to give hundreds of millions of dollars to a newly elected comedian. We don't know if this is a joke. We have no idea.
Yeah, it's actually in the rules and in the laws that you're not allowed to give any foreign aid until you're absolutely convinced all corruption has been cleaned up. There's been a problem, obviously, in past years where you'd give foreign aid and a corrupt country would take it and not put it to where it was supposed to go. But this whole thing about deep state, there were a lot of crazy liberals who would argue with you. What deep state? You're paranoid. What do you mean a deep state? There's no deep state. Deep state means the permanent employees who stay there, and there's tens of thousands of them, and presidents come and go, senators come, but these deep state guys run the place, and they're just clerks, basically, in their cubicles, but they really think they run everything. And if you thought it was just some paranoid myth, I think in the last week or two, people have seen what the deep state is. Look at this Vindman saying he felt the call was inappropriate. Who the hell asked you what you thought? You're just a clerk. You're just a staff guy. You're just there in case the president wants to have you do something. Just go back to your cubicle. Just check your stapler. Make sure it's filled. And and then they actually said something to the effect of the president might have been contradicting American foreign policy. Foreign policy is whatever the hell the president says it is. And if you weren't in line with him, you were contradicting it. Let's go to Joe in Fairfield, Connecticut. Hey, Joe.
Good morning, Mark.
Yes, Joe.
Why is Biden reluctant to run? And it seems very apparent. 4 years ago, he didn't run. This whole scheme was set up with the Ukraine deal. And if he didn't run at this time, the Ukraine issue would not be an issue because there would be no blockage of a candidate by the president, by President Trump.
You know, that's a good point. The nerve of Biden, first of all, clearly he's bumping into walls. He doesn't know where the hell he is. I mean, to run under those conditions takes a little bit of nerve. But his son has got to be the most corrupt kid ever between Ukraine and Romania and China. And look at this Arkansas thing. The DNA test came back. Hunter Biden is the father of this kid in Arkansas. Hey, for such a useless drug addict, this kid gets around. He's on the board of a company in Ukraine. He's sleeping with somebody in Arkansas. This kid really moves. What is he, in the circus? How does he get to all these places?
Yeah, he's got a lot of baggage.
What a father. What a great example of a father Joe Biden has been. Anyway, when we come back, Joe Concha will be with us. We'll see what he's got to say about all of this stuff. Coming up next on 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Joe Bart.
The one and only
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
On the one and only 710 WOR.
Well, Joe Concha, of course, the great columnist for The Hill. You can read his columns at thehill.com or, of course, on Twitter. You can see him all over Fox News. And you can hear him every weeknight on WOR with WOR Tonight at 6 to 9 every night. Joe Concha, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Mark. How you doing?
Very good. Hey, Joe Biden prepared quite an email, a post-debate email, to talk about how he did, but accidentally sent it out before the debate. Isn't it time for this guy to get out of the campaign?
Oh, I've been saying that for weeks and months. He's always been a horrible candidate, Mark, right? I mean, even before age has set in at this point. And for what he said last night, and I think you may have played the clip earlier, that it's okay to hit a woman if it's in self-defense. And then he adds after that, we got to punch our way through this. it's just, how does that evoke any confidence that this guy into his 80s, well into his 80s, if he's elected twice, could be the most powerful person in the world? I am shocked that he's still up 13 points in the index of polls in Real Clear Politics. But that's how bad the alternatives are on the Democratic side, and that's why Bloomberg and the Deval Patricks of the world have jumped in, and probably Hillary will too.
Although Deval Patrick had to cancel a rally yesterday because only two people showed up.
And you're not exaggerating. Literally only two people showed up. I mean, that just shows you, man. It's like the Kentucky Derby. There are 20 horses. And if you jump in late and you don't have the real name recognition outside of Massachusetts, that's what's going to happen. So if he doesn't want to embarrass himself, he should probably say, oops, mistake, I'm out of here.
Hey, there's another Biden lie that everybody's ignored in that debate. After the Kamala Harris, where she says, hey, there's a second woman here who's been elected to the Senate. And he's rambling on about his black credentials. He said, in fact, that's the reason I was chosen as vice president, my relationship with the black community. As if Obama needed help there from him?
No, of course not. Obama had zero foreign policy experience. So we had to bring in someone who has been around for a while and had worked on the Foreign Relations Committee and all those credentials in the Midwest, you know, in terms of Pennsylvania and blue collar workers. And Biden at the time, even though, you know, he got 1% of the vote when he ran for president, he was still seen as probably the safest choice for Obama to kind of quell people's trepidation around his lack of experience. That's why he was chosen, not because he had this great relationship with the black community. But right now, in terms of the way candidates are doing with the black community, he's doing well above the Buttigiegs and the Bernie Sanders of the world.
Hey, Joe Concha, what do you hear about Amy Klobuchar? With the everybody's very alarmed. She was shaking the whole debate, just shaking and shaking, like it's some medical condition.
I always criticize, you know, the Joe Scarboroughs of the world for saying that Donald Trump has early onset dementia. Said that in 2017. When do we get to the next stage? I'm curious if that's the early onset. So I don't like when people do that. I saw when Sanjay Gupta, who almost was Surgeon General of the United States, he's on CNN a couple days ago saying that Donald Trump absolutely, something went wrong there, Walter Reed, when he went there for that medical test. And he maybe had a heart attack. It's like, how can you say that? National television, we haven't even diagnosed the guy. So far be it for me to diagnose Amy Klobuchar, but I did write on Twitter last night, I said, am I the only one noticing that she's shaking? And it was just, it's distracting because I literally couldn't tell you one thing that she said. So that tells you, Mark, in terms of maybe, I don't know, maybe she was nervous, maybe she was cold. I don't know, but it shows you that this is just as much about performance than it is anything in terms of policy and content. And that's why when people ask me, and we talk about it on my show, is Bloomberg, does he have a real chance? I'd say, well, maybe, but then, you know, this is a personality contest also. I mean, you really got to sell it, and you really got to have a lot of energy, and you really have to own the camera. And Bloomberg, I'm not sure, has that. So,
no, not yeah. Sure. He definitely doesn't have it.
He doesn't. Yeah, he's good for local races. He won three terms here, right? And he had a pretty good approval rating when he left. But I'd love to see him when he's up on stage. I just don't think, you know, borrow a term from Trump, he's like low-energy Jeb, except he'll be low-energy Mike. And I'm not sure that sells in this environment where you got to really bring it.
Yeah, you got to remember, Giuliani got him the first race. He had to go out and campaign for him. Second race, he barely had an opponent. Third yeah. race, they put Ray Kelly's picture all over the campaign ads, and that's what got him reelected. So he's not the strongest candidate.
Well, note the irony is that the third election that you talked about was because of the results of his policy around stop and frisk. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, crime came down so much. He continued the Giuliani trend. It was a mess, obviously, under Dinkins. And now he's apologizing for it. And look, if he apologized for it a couple of weeks after he left office, like, hey, I was just trying to save lives, but I look back on it and maybe it was the wrong thing to do. That's one thing. To announce, well, not announce, but pretty much announce you're running for president 2 days after it, say, you know, I just had this epiphany that probably what I did was wrong. It just looks like pandering, and no one likes a phony, and that's the thing people like about Trump. You know, you could agree or disagree with his policies. He stays with what he says, and he delivers on what he promises for the most part, at least tries to, and that's why Trump continues to be, you know, an odds-on favorite to be reelected in 2020.
Yeah, if it was him with the stop and frisk, you know what he would have said. He would have said, people from all over the world are calling me, Mr. Trump, that stop and frisk is the best thing we've ever seen. How do we do it?
Or he'll say that I have so many people in the black community that are thanking me for saving all the lives in those crime-riddled areas. Yeah, but you made a good point before, and I just want to elaborate on it, and that is these debates that we're seeing on MSNBC and CNN. Remember, Fox, they're not allowed to do any debates. The DNC can't control them. That's why. But it's you're right. I mean, this does these candidates no favors whatsoever to answer. It's not even softball. It's T-ball. My kid plays T-ball. And trust me, it's just on the tee and you got to hit it out. Trump, when he went through the Republican nomination process, they did debates on CNBC, NBC, CNN, you name it. He went there, and he did interviews on all those networks as well, and that's what you need. That's how you get toughened up for the general election. And when they get to Trump, they're not going to know what to do because they're going to be hit with things that they never had to answer for before, particularly on the economy. Are you going to raise taxes? How much are you going to raise taxes? I haven't heard one question around that over five debates, and it's amazing that you have all these hours, all these questions, and we can't talk about economic policy, which is the number one topic for every person voting every election, every time. It's about the economy, stupid.
Hey, Andrew Yang, this guy, you know, you brush away the craziness. He seems like a really serious guy with great ideas. He didn't get enough time last night, did he?
Oh, my God. They do an analysis of speaking time. And he got half of, I get it if he gets half of, say, Biden or Warren because they're at the top of the polls. He got half the speaking time of Kamala Harris, who he is now polling above. But Kamala Harris, well, she's provocative, and she attacked Tulsi Gabbard for going on Fox News, so they give her more time. But, yeah, it's unfair. He always talks about how unfair the media is being to him, which is ironic to hear from a Democrat. But it's true. I mean, MSNBC did a poll a couple of days ago where literally they kept him off the poll result, and he was higher than a lot of the candidates they included on it. So, yeah, there's a – I mean, look, if you want to play the game that Democrats play, let's do it. Is there a bias against Asians in this race? We should investigate.
Hey, Kamala Harris really attacked Amy Klobuchar trying to make her comeback, but that's how she got hot in the first place, attacking Biden. But doing this Simon Cowell routine, that's not going to get her the nomination.
I think, no, I'm sure, Mark, that she is the most unlikable candidate of all of them. Right? And they all don't like her very much either. So she's just such a phony, man. I mean, so many problems in California. And then even when those wildfires were happening, she didn't go to visit once or see what was going on. It's very clear now that she's all about herself, and even the other candidates know that. And the good news is she's so far down the polls, she probably isn't going to survive when we ring in the new year in 2020.
Yeah. She looks like somebody who works at DMV. You know what that expression, that she always looks mad. She always looks bored, like she wants to get out of there.
You're the king of analogies. You know that? I was just at the DMV literally 2 days ago, and yes, I got that look. When I didn't have, like, my passport expired or something crazy, and they're like, well, you'll need another form of ID to show us who you are. But then they gave me that look, like, how dare you even waste 3 minutes of my time working here?
Yeah, they always look at you. Like, they give you that look, like, why are you talking to me? Because you're behind the desk here.
That's funny, and it's so true. Yeah, look, and one more thing, by the way. I heard you talk about impeachment ratings before. Yeah, I've been following this for The Hill. This is what I cover as a reporter as well, and they're losing a million viewers every hearing, right? It started off as 14 million, then it went to 12.5 million, then it went to 11.5 million, and it's just going to keep dropping because one great man said this. Can I quote him on your show?
Yeah.
He said, never apologize for fake controversies whipped up by the perpetually offended media. Who said that, Mark?
Donald Trump.
No, you did.
Oh, I did.
Yeah. He quoted you saying it.
He said it, but he was quoting me.
He was quoting you. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. So it's true, though. I mean, you keep saying bombshell, and this is devastating for the president, all during the Russia thing. And then you're saying, wait a minute, why does anybody care about Ukraine? Well, I don't know. Maybe for 2.5 years, you've been perpetually offended and been telling us it's the end of the Trump presidency. The noose is tightening. The walls are closing in, and it's anything but. So that's why these things aren't rating well, because the media lost its credibility in terms of the outrage machine a long time ago.
Well, everybody, listen tonight, 6 o'clock, right here on WOR. You can hear Joe Concha and WOR tonight. What do you got tonight?
Tonight we have Rich Little, who I met last week, and I said, you got to come on my show. And he still is great. He's 80 years old. He's still performing
in
Vegas.
Cole, what happened?
He does a great Reagan and a great Carson.
Was Frank Gorshin busy?
Well, yeah, I know. We have him tomorrow, I think. But, yeah, we got Rich Little and a bunch of other great guests. So thanks for having me on, Mark.
Don't miss Monday. They got Norm Crosby coming on.
Funny.
I'm kidding. No, Rich Little's a very nice guy. Really good guy.
Huge Trump fan, too. Huge
yeah.
Trump
oh,
fan.
Then I want to hear that. That I want to hear.
There you go.
That's tonight at 6. Joe Concha, WOR tonight. Also, read him in The Hill. Joe Concha, thanks for being with us.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. Check out the webpage. Watch this video. This is why Michael Bloomberg can never be president. This was the silliest thing he ever did. It is the dumbest looking thing, but watch this. It's up on the webpage. Just go to 710WOR.com/Mark.